Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and this time of the year, summertime, oh, it's just absolutely marvelous when you can take a book with you wherever you go and just sit out, maybe soaking up those absolutely magnificent golden rays of sunshine. Although I have someone that sent me an email today, said, Donna, be glad you're in the Pacific Northwest, because out here on the East Coast, we're dying. It's 109 degrees and humidity is high, and we're sitting in front of the air conditioner because it's so hot. Regardless, this is the time of year where if you have the opportunity to be outside or to just enjoy quiet and read, this is wonderful to do this with. And I'll tell you what, I've got an author today. His book, Donnie Boy, is one that I would say is absolutely marvelous for reading any time, but especially during the summer. If you're really wanting to make a shift and sort of go back into a time frame and step into the world of a young kid, this book, Donnie Boy, is great. My author is Ron Phillips. Ron, I want to welcome you to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Donna.
Ron, I know that you are just such a superb writer, but you're an interesting man. You have such a unique background. You were a senior creative director at international advertising agencies, NW Air and Campbell Ewald. You were in charge of doing campaigns for mega brands, for AT&T. And so many more, all, you know, like United Airlines and others. You were a commercial director. You won major advertising awards. You wrote and directed the PG-rated motion picture Funny Car Summer. You have produced a number of award-winning children's films. And here you are with Donnie Boy. Boy, you don't let any moss grow under your imagination feet, do you?
No, you know, when we enjoy what we do, I think you don't worry about the commitment, the time, or anything else. And I think that's so important. I have four boys, and they all have kind of gone on their own paths. And I've encouraged that. My wife has encouraged it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you want to do, and don't do things because you think you're supposed to.
Boy, that's really a very good attitude to have, to support youngsters, to reach out for the unique, the unusual, yet at the same time, deal with everyday life, because
yeah.
Nobody hands you a golden wand in life. It seems like we really have to go through some of our own experiences. And Ron, that is what Donnie Boy is all about. Now, you set up the time frame for this as World War II. You set it up in a small town in South Dakota. And I wanted to ask you a personal question. Was this based on real life experience with you?
Well, it's based upon actual events. The events, almost everything in the book took place. The Donnie Boy's connection to them was fictionalized in many, many cases. The basic character of Donnie Boy is very much based upon what I was like as a child. And the family situation in there is pretty realistic. I mean, the mother was pretty much, as I viewed, mom and the father as well. The characters that Donnie Boy meets, I had met similar people in my lifetime growing up. But the threatening of the bridge by the Missouri River flooding, the German prisoners of war being there. My father worked for a radio station. It actually, the city was Yankton, South Dakota. And the building, the studio, was down by the Missouri River. And during World War II, a lot of people don't realize it, but over 5,000 prisoners of war were brought to America because there was a manpower shortage. We mm-hmm. needed human beings to pick, to work at flood relief and things. And in 1945, the town bridge, which led to from South Dakota to Nebraska, was threatened, and a lot of grain was shipped up and down that river. And it would have been difficult for the war effort if that bridge went down. So they brought 150 prisoners of war to Yankton, and they worked down by the station. And I was very young then, but I would go down, and at first I was, you know, frightened of them, but I got to know them, and I was it, and it stayed with me. As I grew up, I realized. It formed a lot of my feelings about war and things like that. And these young men, many of them were very, very young, were, if you took them out of their POW fatigues, they would be just like the GIs that were guarding them. Mm-hmm. And they, you got to know them and not fear them at all. And It was a big life experience for me. So, yes, that indeed was based on real events.
Now, what about Chaplin, the dog?
Yeah.
Did you actually have a dog named Chaplin?
No, I changed the name because it's a very hurtful thing. It's funny. Actually, my dog that was poisoned was called Charlie. And it was based on Charlie Chaplin, because he reminded me of Charlie Chaplin.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I couldn't do Charlie. It's funny. So I used the last name.
Well, I figured the way that it had been written that this was an experience that you had with your own dog. Now, when we look at times like this, it's really fascinating because at the time the Second World War was going on, going from one point to another, most people didn't go more than 75 miles away from home. And here you portray your dad as being a person that really was on the move quite a bit.
Right.
And it was something that, like it is for a lot of kids when their parents have to move, especially if they're in the military or if they're in the type of work that requires that they relocate frequently, there's sort of a resentment. It's like you want to put down roots, and you're not always able to do that. And the Dakotas, South Dakota, was not heavily populated at that time, and I don't know that it's that heavily populated today, but it sure was skimpy then. That was a pretty tough area of country to live in.
Well, it was. And we had lived in so many places. Now, that became the smallest town that we had lived in. But you're absolutely right that there is, I think, one of the themes of the book, Donnie Boy, is that things change. I don't know if you noticed it, but there are several times when Donnie Boy looks at cars or people going away. It's a recurring theme. And at the very end, that happens again. And that's when the realization comes to Donnie Boy that maybe he was blessed in having a lot of experiences, because the thing about life is change.
Mm-hmm.
And people go away and places go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that could destroy you or it could embolden you. It was difficult, and I was a very shy kid. One of my teachers told my mom, she said, if Ronnie doesn't quit looking out the window, he's going to be looking out the same window next year.
Oh, my goodness. Little did she realize that as an adult, you'd not only be looking out of a lot of windows, but you were going to be creating windows for people's minds and imaginations to actually go through because of your experience in media as well as in advertising. How very interesting. Now, you said WXAX. Now, you were talking about the radio station there in South Dakota. You said that was the world's tallest radio tower. Is that based on fact?
WNAX was the actual radio station, and it was, at that time, it was called Big Aggie, and it was the world's tallest radio tower.
My goodness. I didn't know if that was a real fact, so I thought I'd have to ask. Now, with Donny Boy, here we enter into the world. We enter into the mind, into the emotions of a youngster that is evolving into puberty. He's really trying to find his own identification. His family has just moved into a brand new small town that has a whopping population of a little bit more than 5,000 people. And this isn't fun because one of his first experiences is encountering really adversarial situations. Is that what happened to you?
Well, they were based upon experiences I had. Coming into, like I think I mentioned in the book, that in 2 years I went to 8 different schools. And you can imagine what that was like. And my mother did want me, she was always concerned about first impressions, and her idea of how you made a good first impression by dressing was certainly counter to what kids, farm kids in a small town thought. Mm-hmm. And so she would dress me up, which would, make me stand out even more as the new kid in class. And so, bullyism, there's a big thing about bullyism in the book and dealing with it and what it requires of a human being to do it. And, yeah, I was bullied when I was a kid in several instances because I was a new kid and I dressed differently and I was quiet and, I was an easy target, I guess.
Well, not only that, but the fact is you thought differently. You'd come from different environment. I mean, most of the kids were out in overalls, as we would describe them, or the bib-type things or what have you, excepting for one little girl. And I was absolutely enamored of this one because she had Scottish Terriers on her sweaters and on her purse. And anyone that has Scottish Terriers, because we are avid fans of Scottish Terriers, that had to be a winning personality in your book. And I believe she was called Alice?
Alice Cody.
Yes. Yes, she was a young lady that had exquisite taste, as far as I was concerned.
Well, I'm glad. She was an interesting person. And she was a composite, obviously, of a lot of girls that I knew. One of the things that I have gotten a lot of response, people call me up. I get a lot of emails, get Facebook and things, and reviews. Like, it's on Amazon.com, Donny Boy, and, most Kindle and iBooks and those things. And it really resonates with people, and not just mature people, a lot of kids. This is like really interesting to me. I didn't expect this. A lot of young people, like 13, 14, have gotten in touch with me and told me that they felt they were reading about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think you mentioned earlier that there are ironies of life that even though 1945 was a lot different in technological things and everything, than 2011, there are just basic human things that are eternal almost.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think part of the growing up process, it's almost like wolves. Whenever you watch a pack of wolves or you hear stories about them, there is a hierarchical process they have to go through. And the young ones have to show their stuff. They have to find their positioning in life. Well, human beings go through the same thing, male or female. And often those environments of school, social situations, but especially school, because the adults can only oversee a certain amount, and I don't care how many video cameras we have or what kind of security guards may be standing around the corner, you're still going to have the same stuff. It still goes on.
It does. And that's been very gratifying to me. And on the other hand, I hear from a lot of mature people who say, you know, oh gosh, I remember the Burma Shave signs. The Flying Red Horse gas station, it was a gentler, nicer time. And I guess nostalgia makes things warmer, certainly, but they miss the gentleness of their youth a little bit.
Well, I think it's all perspective, because I know a lot of people, and just some of the stuff that you bring out in the book. It all depends on what side of the fence of experience you're on, because it wasn't especially a gentle time.
No.
People were hungry. They were starving. World War II was really, really tough, and that's something you describe about the POW camp. Now, that was something I was not aware of, that there were all of these POWs that had been brought to the United States. And what Donnie Boy does, which is very unique, is that he takes on a project for the school. And I really like this because the principal didn't like it, and yet he managed to get his stuff published anyway. But he actually wanted to go to the POW camp to be able to do research on an article, and his teacher was enthusiastic about it. And that's what opened his eyes. He saw things from an entirely different perspective. The role could have been reversed.
Right.
And you yourself, because this is based on fact, you yourself actually did go to the POW camp. What was it like in South Dakota in 44, 45?
In 45, it was actually, this was a unique place for the German prisoners of war, actually, because there were what was called at the time Bohemians. Many, many of the farmers were Bohemians, which meant they were from Bohemia, part of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence Welk, at the radio station where Dad worked, started there. Bohemian band. And so... Actually, there were a lot of German-speaking people in the community that were not frightened by the prisoners. There
mm-hmm.
was the time this book, the few months, which is the microcosm of the book, is when it was all the horrible things that the Nazis had done to the Jews were coming out, the concentration camps and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And people were really, really angry. But there was a sentiment that realized that not all Germans were Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that comes through to people who read the book, that you cannot just categorize people in a way that they're all the same, because they aren't. They really aren't. So many of these young guys were conscripted. It's
mm-hmm.
true, one lost his father because his father was a professor and spoke out against the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
That Eric, the character Eric, who Donnie Boy befriends and becomes a very special part of the book, is based upon things that I learned. I learned that one of the POWs lost his mother and sister in a bombing raid at Aachen in mm-hmm. Germany, a United. And so it's not just one way. You know, people are utilized in a war, and they're not necessarily, you know, their sentiments are pretty much not, they're not different from the other side in many cases. They're just put into a situation that mm-hmm. is very difficult.
Well, as someone I know has said, sadly, all of these things are started by a very small circle of people. And it's a
right.
very small circle of people that dominate a mass of others and tell them they must go to war. And one of the points that is brought out in your book that I thought was especially significant is that the young man that Donny Boy befriends, he finds out that so many of his family died because, and he had no choice. He didn't want to be fighting. He wasn't interested in going to war. He wasn't interested in conquering the world. That was Hitler's stuff. That
right.
wasn't his stuff. It wasn't his family's stuff. So he was forced, and then he ended up being captured, and he was so young, there were others that were older than he was, and he was really put upon quite a bit. He was not unlike Donny Boy. Donny Boy,
right.
the two of them had parallel patterns. Even though they were in different environments, they were going through the same kind of growing up process.
Yep, that's exactly right. And that's why they befriended one another, and their lives were changed because of it.
Mm-hmm. When you were going through the story and you were putting it down, one of the greatest things I thought was all of the different particulars of detail. And you mentioned this earlier, how people said, gee, Burma shave, I remember those signs. But I go into, and I'm just drawing these at random, the war stamps. This
right.
is something that the younger generation wouldn't even have a clue about. War stamps, what were they?
War stamps were a way of raising money to pay for the war. There were war stamps that were sold to people with limited means and to school children, a lot to school children. And then there were war bonds, and there were war bond rallies. Hollywood stars would go to New York or have events in Los Angeles where they would sell war bonds. And I think they were something like $25 at maturity and like 1875, I've researched all this to buy initially, but there was you had to keep them X number of years.
Mm-hmm.
The war stamps, I think, were 25 cents each, something like that, and they were sold through the schools. There were also scrap drives, paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in the book, too. Paper drives and grease. People would save their grease. Because it was used in making munitions. Old rubber tires. There were some very unique things that took place like that during the war.
Well, and what I thought was a hoot were all of the different movie stars and various personalities that you mentioned, like Jack Benny, Fred Allen, Alice Faye, the Lone Ranger, you know, all of these. These are things that are attached to that time period. And whenever you watch any of the old movies, you'll see these things brought up. And it's just absolutely fascinating to have that. And then you go, you know, into your story about Eric, who is the young man. And the one that grabbed me was the Whitman sampler for Valentine's Day, Russell Stover chocolates.
right.
Oh, my goodness. That was big time.
That was. That was the, I mean, that was what happened then. And a funny thing was, because my father used to get a Whitman sampler for Mom every Valentine's Day. And my first, out of college, my first job was with an advertising agency in New York on their training program. And I was there for a while. And one of my first accounts was Whitman's chocolates. And advertising is a very competitive business. When they have a campaign that they want to create, they don't just give it to one writer and art director. They usually give it to different teams, so it's competitive and stuff. And they, on the Whitman sampler thing, they wanted to broaden the seasonality of their product. Most of them were sold at Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and Christmas. So I created a campaign, and it was a jingle. You don't need a reason. Love is a season. You don't need a season. Love is a reason to give a Whitman sampler.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fun, and I had grown up around that.
It's great. Now, there was a character in your book called David.
Yes.
I believe that was his name.
Right.
And you have here and now live from Radio City Music Hall in New York, CBS presents the Amateur Hour with Major Edward Bowes. Was he a real person?
Absolutely.
He was a real person.
Oh, yeah. The Major Bowes Amateur Hour. The gong, the horrible, I mean, the really cruel gong and everything, that existed. You can Google Major Bowes Amateur Hour. And Frank Sinatra actually got his start on it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you learn something new every day. Good old Frankie. His voice still resonates with people around the world, and I don't know that that'll ever change because of the mystique and the Rat Pack and everything else that's associated with him. You have so much of that. Now, David, who was he? What did he ended up becoming a star, didn't he?
It's not. It's indicated that he's going to go on the road with Major Bowes, and mm-hmm. because Major Bowes would take, he had different touring companies that were that some of the good talent from his show, and he would always pick some terrible talent too, and so he could gong them, you know. But anyway, in the book, we leave David as he goes off. Onto one of these touring companies. Now, whether or not David becomes a star, we don't know. But he was. But he existed. He was this tiny guy with a huge voice. And he. There's much about his terrible family life and things that really existed. And so he's based on a true character. Pete's an interesting character. Pete, who says he's a Persian prince?
Oh, yes. And he actually was one.
Well, we don't know for sure. We do know that he very well might be one. And so he's an interesting guy. Cleo's interesting. I mean, they're another thing I hear from people is that the characters become alive, that they mm-hmm. really, they can visualize them, they see them distinctly, and they, for the most part, they enjoy them.
Absolutely. Well, the story of a young man coming into his own, dealing with a Nazi POW. This is a time frame of 1944 to 1945, and it is written with so much personality and involvement, and all the characters that are in this book. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. A terrific book to read at any time. It would make a great gift for a young person. It'd be good for a reading club just to discuss all of the different aspects of it, researching on the internet about this time in history, because it's had a tremendous impact on what we've evolved into today. Donnie Boy, what's your website, Ron, that people can go to?
DonnieBoyBook.com, and there you can read the first chapter. You can listen. There's an audio book of Donnie Boy, and you can listen to the first chapter as well. And it gives the story behind the story. And it's, like I mentioned, it's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Kindle, iBooks, Nook, and all of that. But I think there's on the website, there's a video of me at the launch party, and there's an interview, one of the radio interviews I've had and things. DonnieBoyBook.com. You can learn whether you'll like it or not, I think, very quickly there.
Well, it's absolutely wonderful, and you get engrossed in it, and you really want to find out more about the characters and how various things end up. There's a bit of mystery to it, but also fascinating read about a time that we will never see again. This is Donna Siebel. I want to thank Ron Phillips for being my guest. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Boy, are we enjoying magnificent weather here in the Pacific Northwest. We thought we'd never be able to get out of our rain gear, but we have sunshine today, and it's positively addictive. Absolutely. We get a chance to dry the moss out of our brain and to just feel like we are actually going to have a summer. I had to laugh this morning when I was out walking our little Scotty Victor. Someone said, "It actually is going to be summer," and everybody says, "Yeah, give it 24 minutes and it might change." So anyway, we're really enjoying it here, and that brings to mind the fact that we are going to be starting the Renaissance Fair here in the state of Washington. It's the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, and it is in, I believe, its 15th year, and I've been with them for just about most of that time. And so we are going to be out at Bonnie Lake, and I am excited about this. It's starting this weekend, and it's going to be for the first 3 weekends in August at the Kelly Farm in Bonnie Lake, Washington. As I've said, this is a family event. If you want information, all of my tickets are gone. There are no tickets left, So all of those free passes are gone. But, hey, take your family. We're going to have a beautiful weekend this weekend. It's going to be in the 70s, 80s. It's absolutely going to be gorgeous. Make sure you have something to sort of shade your eyes and good walking shoes. And come on out. Bring the kids. Bring, you know, your friends, your family. It's just wonderful. And if you want more information about them, go to their website, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. And you'll get all the details, all the information about parking directions and everything else. It's so much fun. I get to get all dressed up. I just absolutely love it. Now, for those of you who are listening, give me a buzz if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free worldwide number of 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I wanted to say my newsletter went out just before I went on air. This is the first, and so it went out. So there's going to be all kinds of information in there. I hope you enjoy it. If you would like to get more information about anything that is in the newsletter, feel free to call me at my office, 253-582-5604. Regrettably, because there was such an intense weekend of activity, I wasn't able to get up the list for all of the guests that we have got for this month, but it'll be up today. So tomorrow we're going to be talking. I know we've got a caller on the line, Beyond the Edge. This is another piece of fiction, but not a biographical piece of fiction. Amy Hindman is going to be my guest, and we're going to be talking about music and some other things. So Beyond the Edge, we're going to be having that tomorrow. Donna Sebo here, and let's take our first caller for the day, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna.
Yes.
Hi, it's Pat from Connecticut.
Well, hi, Pat. How's it back in Connecticut? Are you enjoying some beautiful summer weather?
Yes, but we're waiting for a thunderstorm, which we really need.
Oh, well, we've had enough water here, so I'm glad you're getting some
of
it. Oh,
have you?
Oh, yeah. We feel like we've lived in almost out of necessity. We have to keep our rain gear around us because that's how much rain we've had. So it has just been dark gray and gloomy, and those of us in the Pacific Northwest have said, enough already, so finally the sun god graced us. Yes, today. It's absolutely been wonderful, and apparently we're going to be blessed with golden rays for the rest of the week. Yahoo!
Oh, good.
Well, now, let's get down to business with you. First thing that I'm looking at, Pat, is that you are going to have quite a busy schedule. And there is something with some people that you know that is going to frustrate you. And you're wondering or may wonder, gee, how deeply should I get involved in this? And I'd say you don't have to get involved at all. All you have to do is be a good listener. Detach. You don't need to be attached to whatever they're going through. That's not necessary. Just allow that everybody has to have their own experiences and just be at ease with that. I think of someone that I had a conversation with this past weekend, and they were still agitated within the environment that they found themselves in. And I said, let it go. Don't be judgmental. Just be aware that this is part of your growth and your learning. You don't have to be stuck in other people's modalities. What you have to do is be aware of them so that you become empowered as an individual. And I'll say the same thing to you. So you are growing up and out of a lot of what I would call certain habits that have been in your life of apprehension regarding perhaps new associations, and that's going away. So I think you've got some new friends coming into the picture before September the 18th, and I really like what I see here. So relax. You don't need to get stressed out over anything. You've got a lot of blessings around you. Appreciate what you have, and just take each moment as it comes. What's on your mind?
Thank you for all that, Donna. That's all appropriate. And I do have a question of apprehension. Tomorrow, I'm supposed to sign a lease and get a key to my new apartment. This is the artist housing.
Wonderful.
And,
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. They are, since my application was so long ago, they are, I'm doing a new application and new statements and so on and so on. And I just want to make sure that everything's going to go okay.
Well, yes, it is. I don't think that anything's going to go awry here. I just think that the individuals involved because of the time situation and different people have changed positions, there's not been very good organization or tracking of what other people have done. So whoever has been overseeing this has really been sloppy as far as paying attention to the details. Just go with the flow. Just say, okay, here I am. This is what I do. This is what I have to do. And just get it done. You don't need to go anywhere else with your thinking. Just do it.
So do you see me getting the keys and that I'm in, accepted, and able to move in?
Yes. That's already been determined. That's not an issue. That has already been determined.
Thank you. And Donna, I need to tell you, I asked you about this back in March when they told me I would be moving in, and you said you did not see till September, and I almost argued with you, and I thought, that's just impossible. That means I'm probably not going to get this. Well, you're right. They have been, I guess, sloppy. I didn't know that. And here it is, August, and you were absolutely right. I will be moving in September when they told me March, and I just wouldn't have believed it.
Well, understand there, life does not go in a straight line. I see that so many times on my show. It's just a reality, and you have to remember, this is not a little small, dinky project. People had a concept, an idea. They had to work with the funding,
yes,
and putting everything together, making sure the plumbing works, the toilets work, the lights work, and a lot of it has not been monitored. It has not been supervised that well.
Mm-hmm. And well, Donna, I'm just blown away that you knew it was September.
Oh, don't be blown away. That's okay. Just move on and be prepared for it.
Huh?
Just get ready. Start packing stuff. Get rid of whatever you need to get rid of. Put things together. This is your time to give to yourself. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you so
much.
You
are welcome,
Donna.
My dear, and congratulations. I'm so pleased for
you. Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and hey, the rest of this week, dare to change your job and your life? Carol Kancher is going to be my guest. The art of convening. Convening, a word you don't hear very often. It's about mingling with people, communicating with people. Believe it or not, we are starting to have some real issues with that. So we're going to be talking with that and then staying awake, a true story of life in death. Now, this is an amazing book, and this is going to be on Friday. So we've just got a wonderful lineup of people. And again, I'll have that list up for you by this evening, and you'll be able to see it on bbsradio.com. All you have to do is go into show information, and you'll have all of that detail and a brief write-up as well. By the way, if you want to give me a buzz, the new telephone number is 888-627-6008. 627-6008. Well, I wanted to give you some information. There is a lot of hot stuff about ebooks, and everybody gets very, very excited. Well, I'm sort of old-fashioned, I guess you might say. I really like to be able to work with books, and of course, I'm working with a highlighter whenever I'm reviewing materials. And so that's my way of working with it, and ebooks don't work for me. I don't want to download them, and I don't want to read them on the computer. I just don't have time for that. However, a lot of you do. And I have no argument with it. A lot of you have Kindles and other kinds of electronic media that you like to work with. And I think that is marvelous, too. I'm all in favor of technology. But there are points of information that I got regarding e-book stores, libraries, and also friends and families and how e-books can be loaned. Now, have you heard of any of that? Well, I'm going to be giving some information on that. I know we're going to be going on break. So quickly, I want to give you the toll-free number if you'd like to call in. That's 888-627-6008. That's worldwide, toll-free. You can call in and chat with me if you so desire. And then also, I want to let you know, I'm going to be on Deborah Scott's show, her radio show, and that information is and in my newsletter, and will be up on my website probably within 24 hours. But I wanted to let you know I gave the wrong call number. So I'll be sending out probably another email as a follow-up to let people know that there was an error in my newsletter. I typed in the wrong phone number. Don't ask me how I did that, but I did. So anyway, I will be sending out that correction as well. Well, we're going to take a break here for just a moment. Donna Sebo, give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008. We'll be back in just a minute. I'll have some information on ebooks for you.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, Donna here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Okay, here is some information that crossed my desk that I really thought you might be interested in. If you're a reader, as I am, you might want to have something like an ebook or a Kindle, something like this, that you can utilize. And there's just so much material that's out there anymore. It's just amazing. Now, it's a fact. Your ebooks cost a lot less than hardcover versions, so there's also an opportunity to get free ebooks. Now, there's ebook stores, and there's hundreds of thousands of public domain editions of many classics published before 1923, and they have been digitalized and by Google, and they're offered as free downloads, and even some newer titles or excerpts are free for various promotional purposes. Now, sources of free ebooks include the ebook stores for Kindle, Nook, Sony Reader, and Kobo devices and apps. You can also access ebooks free on your Nook for up to an hour a day when you're in any Barnes and Noble store. Now, you also can utilize your libraries, ebook readers, including Nook and Sony models, and according to Amazon's publications, you're going to be able to do this with Kindles later on in 2011. It will let you borrow ebooks from some public libraries with a local library card, provided you download the free Adobe Digital Edition software to your computer. Now, with the library's physical books, you might need to reserve and wait for a particular title if all of the library's ebook licenses for it are in use. You don't have to pay late charges as you do with physical books. After the due date, an ebook becomes inactive in your library. It can be renewed if no one else has reserved it. Also, many ebooks bought from the Nook and Kindle stores can be lent to other users. A loan will last 14 days. The owner cannot read the book during that time. On both devices, each ebook can be loaned only once. And also, I have heard that Amazon is offering a very, very significant special with ebooks for college material. So there is a fee for that, but apparently it is so low compared to what it would be to actually get the physical book. And I know that publications are very, very expensive for students. It's one of their biggest expenses when they are in college. And that's why so many of them are returned and they're loaned out again and again and again. So this is something that is an option, and if you are comfortable with that and it's easy for you to utilize it, you've got just so many options. Be sure you check with your local public library, because the libraries, my goodness, even in our own neighborhood, they have got something like a red box for your DVDs and doing various things with movies. I'm just amazed at how our local library has changed just in a year with all of the electronic opportunity that we have. So just know that that is all available to you. Okay, I wanted to share a summer poem with you by Marlene Cook, and it's the most magnificent photograph that I have in front of me. It looks like it's somewhere in the Grand Canyon with this awesome sunset. Or it could be a sunrise. I don't know. But the colors are just blazing with magentas and golden oranges and brilliant yellows. And it says, clouds edged in pink, a sky tinted with flecks of gold, the deep purples of a setting sun. These are the stars of summer. So it is a sunset. But I do want to let you know that it's wonderful to be able to have this kind of opportunity. There is so much in this world that is so beautiful, but you have to be awake enough to realize it. I was visiting with some friends yesterday. My husband and I had gone out for a social event there, and they have a home that is by a lake. And I was just amazed at the eagles we saw and all kinds of activity that was going on. And this man said that when he was taking care of his property there, he noticed that there was a lot of erosion due to the lake's water with the rise and fall of the tides slapping up against the edge of his property. He said, we were seeing a lot of the dirt and the plants eroding away. So he went and built it up with a lot of stone, and some unexpected benefit came from that. And what happened is the fish fingerlings found their way into the nooks and crannies of the rocks that he had hauled down to this water's edge by hand. He had carried them down in wheelbarrows and whatever and put them all into place very carefully. He said the little fingerlings, they go and hide in the rocks so that the birds, like your cranes and your herons and others, that will feed on the fingerlings, they have a place to hide. So he said, we have this wonderful breeding environment for fish. And he said, I had no idea I had done that when I put those stones in against the water's edge of the land. And he said, it is fascinating. Come out here early in the morning when the sun's just coming up. And he said, you'll see all of these fingerlings that are out there. And they're going to have a chance to grow and supply the fish that they need in that body of water. So it's just a joy to be out and about and to listen and to learn and to observe and to appreciate everything that we have. We've got a lot to be grateful for. Now, what if you want to avoid spending money on fake items? Well, apparently restaurants, manufacturers, stores, and eBay sellers are guilty of doing this, selling counterfeit products to make money. I think one of the most interesting places to ever visit relative to this is a place like Hong Kong or the big cities like New York and Boston and some other places, and you'll find a lot of these places, these products, counterfeit products out in the open. Now, you can't avoid being scammed. Now, as far as green products go, well, you have to pay attention. So you'll find labels that'll say Earth Smart and free range, and you'll say, oh, gee, I think that means that this is an environmentally friendly type of product. Well, there are no standards. So if you really want to find out the truth and facts, you go to greenerchoices.org/ecolabels to find out if there's any truth behind a product's green claims. And seafood, at least 25% of the fish served in restaurants is not what is on the menu. not only is that a ripoff, but when it comes to Escalar, which is frequently wrapped for white tuna, or swapped for white tuna, it can cause health problems, as the fish is known to cause stomach upset. So skip your white tuna when you're eating out in restaurants. Snapper, red grouper, and crab outside the claw, which are the most commonly switched seafood dishes. Just a couple of tips I'll leave you with. That you've got them, and this is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful summer day, and we'll be talking again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.